Well, we still have Miss Danny A.B. and Mr. Oh, where is it? Bob Knowles.
Bob Knowles.
I can... Oh, terrible. I got to get a real job. This radio thing's not working out.
We'll double your pay.
Oh, great. Thanks. Wow. And that first class accommodations I've gotten.
Anyway, as I was saying before, down at Evansville, we're kind of at the bottom of the food chain, so we get a lot of our stuff secondhand. Like our radar is an ASR-8 that we got handed down from Indianapolis.
I don't know what's they're probably up to like ASR-20 by
now.
Yeah,
I was going
to
say.
Actually, I think it's 11 and I think 13 is the next generation.
It's coming up.
We were doing a site survey for that, but I think I don't think we're going to see that. But we don't have the digitalized radar just yet.
I think you should. I think you deserve it.
Well,
you've been a good employee.
Thank you. But we don't run the traffic like O'Hare or Miami does or anything, so we do have our spurts, and we do well with what we have.
You have to.
Yeah.
Does the differences in the technologies through the different towers and centers, does that affect the way you route planes, the density at which you route flights and things like that?
For us, it doesn't really affect us. I don't know about you, Danny.
No, I don't think it.
So us
pilots, worked about this. We worked the same amount of traffic,
right,
whether we had the old radar or this one. It's just, it makes it a little easier to do with the newer equipment.
Okay, so we don't ever notice that your guys are, it's like, oh no, I got to go through Evansville and they got that junky radar.
Nope.
So you don't get that.
No.
You will not see that.
Good. Even though you might be going, oh, I got to go to work today and we got that junky radar.
Now, what about the consolidations of a lot of these TRACON facilities in the past few years? I know they've kind of pushed them together. And
reductions in forces and cost-cutting measures?
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
How has that impacted the technology and the modernization of the airspace and how these operations are working for the controllers?
I don't think it's helped with any modernization. I think it's mostly a budget issue that they're trying to
force.
Force. Just instead of having two facilities, let's say, for lack of a better word, to pay rent, they put them all in one. Same equipment and everything. It's just two different facilities in one place. And that doesn't provide a good service to the pilots and the users of the area.
I mean, it's been relatively transparent to us. You still call in your same frequencies.
Right.
You're still, but, you know, I imagine the impact on the
maybe on some
side.
Of the smaller facilities, it might not be. I mean, they're trying in South Florida, they're trying to co-locate Palm Beach and Miami. Now, those are two big approach controls. And, you know, we're finding that Palm Springs also, they were trying to consolidate two of them up there, and that was not going to be good service providing for the users in the area. And luckily they stopped that for now.
The question I have, when they have a consolidation, if you had 10 at Palm Beach, 10 controllers, and 10 controllers in Miami, are they putting 20 in the co-location, or are they putting 15 and asking those guys to work harder?
I'm not sure what the plan is. I think what it would be is, let's say, they would bring the people from, let's say, Palm Beach to Miami as they go retiring. I don't know that they would be rehiring the people to work that specific airspace, and I don't know if their major plan would be for new people to be certified on more airspace. I'm not sure what the plan would be. For now, I think they're planning on moving. People would just have to travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And one thing that I haven't really understood is from about a year ago, our staffing numbers were 23, I believe. It went down to, the agency said, well, you can do this with 19 people now. And now they're talking, well, we think I've heard rumors, and I don't know how true it is, but we think you can do this with 15 people now.
I think the people that make those decisions should be part of that 15.
Mm-hmm.
Let's actually try it, and let's see what you really think.
So,
and that's the same across the board, all the facilities. Miami Center, too. We used to, when I got there about 15 years ago, there was almost 300 controllers in the whole facility. To fully certified controllers right now, we're at 207.
So, wow.
We have 500,000 square miles of airspace that we work down there.
That's a lot of airspace.
A lot of airspace.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Do the storms call in before they come in? Permission to enter airspace?
Well, they start. You see them starting really small, and you can see them growing, and that's your warning.
Yeah. Okay. Then you got to start scrambling. Guys, like I was saying earlier, Miami, Florida, thunderstorm capital of the United States.
Yes.
Daily basis.
Every afternoon. Expect it.
That's what Danny was saying on the walk over here. Well, at least I feel like I'm at home here.
Yeah.
Humidity, the heat, the rain.
So I guess a day that you don't have to do reroutings is like, wow, what happened?
Right, no rerouting, no holding. It is a treat. It's an easy day.
You don't get those too often.
Huh? Not in the summer.
No, not in the summer.
Yeah, Miami. Now, in Miami Center, you guys get a lot of general aviation aircraft calling in on the center.
We do at the low altitudes.
Right.
We run Vero Beach and Fort Pierce approach control that we set up for the tower. And a lot of like Sebring, Okeechobee, Pahokee, a lot of these smaller facilities that Miami does work.
It seems weird to me that you'd be talking to approach control for an airport, and they're not even at that airport. They're off in a remote site somewhere. It's just kind of strange.
Yes.
Because I'm looking for the guy to be right there looking out the window at me, you know?
Well, some are.
Yeah. And that's one thing with consolidation. You get the local knowledge base away from the area.
And I guess it's quite possible that you're going to have someone controlling an airport that he's never been to.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but well, also, in that region, I mean, there are centers deal with international flights everywhere, but Miami is right there on the edge of the country, so to speak. So you get a lot of international coming in.
Yes.
How does that work? You got your general aviation folks that may or may not have good radio etiquette. Or
may or not speak English.
And then now you've got some others that have a variety
of foreigners who may or may not speak it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
But the airspace is divided, so, you know, the general aviation that flies, the smaller aircraft, there's sectors that own low-altitude airspace, 10,000 and below, and other airspace owns 23,000 and below. So that way the controller working that airspace is pretty much just working low-altitude aircraft. And then you have your high-altitude, 24,000 feet and above, that are working, all the jets and the sequencing and the departures and overflights.
Well, being as you're in Miami and you're awfully close to other countries, what about unidentifieds that you see coming in? What do you do?
Well, that's,
you have a red phone somewhere?
Talking about modernization, that is one of the issues that we do have down there. The radar coverage is not very adequate. Talking about our neighboring countries, there have been stories in the past where aircraft have come in under radar. We don't have very good radar coverage in the, southwest area of South Florida. Also going to the southeast, to the Caribbean, a lot of some of that airspace is non-radar, because now you're talking about most of those islands, all the Bahamas, those are also foreign countries. We can't just go in and put our radar sites in there. So we've had, bad radar coverage in certain areas. The airspace I work, like in Freeport, that's just like about 50 miles off of Palm Beach, and that radar coverage below 7,000 is pretty much non-radar. We work in non-radar because we don't have the coverage.
Is there any, what's the plan to maybe, or is there, can there be a plan to fix that? I didn't want to say fix,
to enhance it. There has been, we've been trying to fight it for many years from what I have it understood. I've just recently come onto the safety committee and coming up with the, different issues that we have, and the radar is one of the major ones in a few sectors in Miami Center, and we've been for years.
What about the communications, the internal communications between sectors, between controllers, their efforts to facilitate that, to automate what they can or pass information and make sure that it's not misrepresented?
No, I think that's pretty good. We have the flight plan information goes from one sector to the other. Everybody gets the same information. So if the flight plan is filed correctly when we receive it, then we have all the correct information, and it goes from sector to sector. So that's pretty good.
Those mechanisms work well for communications between the sectors and stuff? Like just push a button and you're talking to the next guy?
It happens automatically, at least with the flight plan information.
What about like altitude coordinations, point outs, that sort of thing?
We have a lot of that standard with sector operating procedures, certain ways. Sometimes for traffic reasons, you would be going at an altitude other than what you think you might or should be, and we get a lot of pilots going, shouldn't I be even? Shouldn't I be on? Well, we have other procedures.
Don't mess with the rule.
I'm always odd.
Odd people fly east, right?
I'm always odd.
Well, that's beside the point, but anyway.
But we have procedures set up that sometimes for traffic flow that you would be going at an altitude other than what you expect, and, you know. But, and we coordinate that between us, and that way we,
you keep the other guys that are coming west away from us.
Yes, we, you know, it could be various reasons. I mean, you have emergencies, somebody that's Nordo, what have you. So
a student pilot that's lost.
That could be.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. It's 9:43 a.m. This is Digital Dave.
As you say, we might want to pass out the call-in number.
Oh, can we do that today?
I think so.
Yeah, you guys can call in for questions. You dial 920-230-7987. Operators are standing by. This is the AA Radio.